Ooh, bitch, you ain't shit.
Hey, y'all, I'm Queen Chickenhead.
And I'm Breezy the Gent.
And we are the You Ain't Shit Podcast.
Thank you again for tuning in again and again and always and again.
It's highly appreciated, y'all. Highly appreciated.
I feel like we're friends now. You and me, the person listening, we're friends. Thanks.
No, we're cool. You're Breezy's friend. We still, you know, I'm still dipping my toe in the water. Not sure yet.
So how was your week, man?
My week was very, very, very exhausting. The highlight of my week was my niece being born, which didn't know was a thing until she was here.
Oh, like, so you didn't know any of the other months that she was a thing, that she was about to be a thing?
Well, the family, my brother informed us about the baby, I think in like June-ish.
Oh, and then it just popped out.
Yeah.
He, she, sorry.
My niece. Yeah.
Niece, okay.
Girl. She popped out Friday morning. And I said, okay. But wow. She is so precious.
Congratulations to the new parents.
Yes, both their first child.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just gonna say, you know, new parents because new child, no matter what number it was, I wasn't trying to assume. But shout out to that too then.
Yeah. You know, it's about time. They've been together for at least a decade.
Oh. So... You know what? It's not my business. I'm a
ain't mine neither. I don't know nothing. Just know they've been together for a minute.
They've been together because, all right. This is literally not my business, y'all. Listen, we really got to move on.
I'm just as confused as you at this point.
I'm
okay?
So curious.
I'm still trying to figure out how he told us like 2-3 months before the baby's supposed to be here.
Okay. You know what? All right, so before I fucking ask my question, because like it keep wanting to fucking slip out of my mouth, let's move on.
Yo, how was your week?
My week was fine. This is us coming off the extended weekend, right? We had a long ass weekend, so I didn't even work on Monday. No work Monday.
Yes, thank God.
So it was a really short week. It went by pretty quickly. Bad side is that my laptop charger died on me. It fried on me, like literally, like was sparking and shit. This past weekend, not this last weekend. So I have not been able to edit anything. I haven't been able to do anything on my laptop. That's been kind of boring.
Yeah, that's no fun. Oh my goodness. As you can see, my laptop charger, I'll be scared. I'll be like, you know, my dog has done some damage to it. So I'll be like, all right, just waiting for you to let me know.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel like that Jones a trooper because mine ain't been through half and that shit was sparking. I don't even know if I can't remember if I had this laptop for a year yet or not.
Oh my goodness.
Right.
Really?
It's definitely like at least a year or a little under a year that I've had this laptop and nothing fried. Like it was definitely sparking. We had to move it. Even after it was unplugged, it was still sparking.
Oh, see, I would have been like, no, somebody called a fire department. Because
luckily, I had some electrical tape in here. So, and it wasn't literally electrical tape, it was stage tape, but it was. That's what it was made for. Stage tape is supposed to keep the heavy duty wires down and shit like that. So I used it.
Okay. Yeah.
Shout out to Norwegian Cruise Line because I definitely took that from when I was working there as stage crew. Oh, so that was this legit tape right here.
I had nothing to do with that. If you guys, you know, decide to take action.
Yo.
I had nothing. It's me, just Queen Chicken Head, had nothing to do with that. Okay. I knew nothing about this. I didn't even hear her say that.
They already fired me. They got their money.
The fuck? They fired you because you got the tape. You stole
that is
the
not.
Tape.
It's not why.
Oh,
that is
whatever.
Not why. I lived on that ship. I could have had that tape with me forever and took it back and forth to work.
They was cutting inventory. Somebody got the tape.
I can't believe it lasted this long. I still got that shit.
Oh my goodness.
Let's do a little foreplay.
So what? What shit have these celebrities been getting into? Like, what the hell's been going on?
Keisha Cole's divorce finally finalized, so I feel like we should throw her a party.
Yes.
going through this divorce for a long time.
It's okay, because I really was under the impression that they were already divorced. Because, you know, he's moved on. She's clearly moved on, has a whole new family.
Whole new child.
Yeah. I thought they were already done. See, marriage is something else, because why should it have taken that long?
I'm excited for this new music. Because I feel like she might have been chilling on the type of music we need from her, because she was going through this divorce, so she couldn't put out something that would like go bad on her side through this divorce.
All I know is I don't want any more high school type lyrics from Keisha Cole. It was cute when we were in high school. It will no longer be cute now, sis. No more I should have cheated.
No more.
I don't need that.
I wasn't cool with that song, but we need more Let It Go vibes.
Yes, please. Oh, please do. And we need a Lil' Kim verse on that too. You know, let's just bring back the old shit.
Just fuck it. Bring everybody back. Yes. Who else was? Oh, first of all, I was about to intermingle like a motherfucker. Remember when Free had that verse on Fighting Temptations?
Jesus Christ.
First of all, that was a good verse. Don't say Jesus Christ like that.
It's just making me think of that damn Benzino song you had me listening to just then with that Lisa Ray verse.
My bad. So y'all ain't know that most of y'all favorite actresses and hosts and shit tried to rap in the early 2000s and shit.
No, I remember Free rapping, but I was today years old when I found out that Lisa Ray attempted to rap at one point, and even that Benzino wasn't really a thing.
I guess that everybody is today years old, because it is on Apple Music. If you want to look it up, the song is called Would You by Benzino, and it's featuring Lisa Ray, y'all. She has a rap verse, like a whole verse. It's not just a little thing, like she had a verse.
The only legit person on that song is Mario Winans, y'all. That's all I can tell you.
He sounds great. He sings the chorus.
He sounds amazing. That's all I can tell you about that song.
She said, Dom Diva. All right. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to let y'all hear it if y'all feel like y'all want to hear some Lisa Ray rap. You can fast forward to, Benzino is here, neither here nor there. You don't have to listen to what the fuck he got to say.
Oh, please don't. I wasn't able to last 5 seconds of his verse. It just wasn't it at all. But yeah, as far as this divorce goes for Keisha Cole, girl, congratulations.
Yeah, man, can we shout out to Keisha Cole. And her motherfucking divorce.
Yes.
Have a party.
Ooh, girl. Yes. And if you invite me, I'll be there, sis. You know, I'll bring what y'all drink on. We probably in the same. Never mind. I'm gonna be nice. Congratulations, sis.
You know what? I'm about to say something racist, so let's move on. And I'm black, so.
Oh, my God.
We like Henny, though.
Yes.
I need for me to play. I'm over here pressing buttons by accident.
Oh my God.
I mean, ain't nothing wrong with Hennessy. Hennessy's a good.
I'm gonna let you die in that hill. Me? It's a lot of y'all nakers that believe that. And I'm gonna just leave it at that.
It's not my favorite brown, but it's a good brown.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's cool with some coke.
The one you snort? Or the one you drink?
Nigga, no. Even though, like, I'm not opposed.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm okay with trying something.
Try
everything once. You only live once. So, the fuck, like, hand me that. It's like, no.
Again, I do not share the same sentiments as breezy.
No, honestly, with drugs, I am pretty liberal, though. Like, I'm cool on the crystal meth, I'm cool on crack, and I'm cool on heroin. I don't want any of that shit. But I'll try some coke. I'll try some shrooms. I'll try some fucking ecstasy. I've done Molly, so that's...
Oh, Jesus.
Opportunity's never been presented. And mind you, I'm not out here seeking it out either, so I'm going to say that much.
Somebody going to hop in the DMs.
Right, like, yo, you trying to come to this party?
I got what you need.
No, bruh, I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to end up, you know what?
You're not trying to end up on KNA.
I'm not trying to end up nowhere in nobody's bed being dragged around at some stripper party. So,
that's not fun.
No, Just a quickie. When do you think is the best time to raise delicate sexual issues with a new partner?
So, depending on the situation will determine, I guess, the time frame of when I would do it. So, like, I guess say if I had something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would definitely, or I would try to communicate that before we even did anything sexually.
Okay.
Mainly because I'm trying to protect the partner or that person as well as myself.
Meaning you have something permanent. Because
if I had something permanent, I don't think I would even want to. Yeah.
Well, that's something. I feel like that's a whole nother conversation.
It is.
Because we would think that. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm open. I'm not going to say that I've ever had sex with someone that I, you know, knew had an STD. But am I like feverishly scared of it? No. No, I don't ever want an STD. Mm-hmm. Like, ever. I'm happy with my status at this point. But to say that we would just be over sex if we had some life-changing disease, I don't think that I would. If we were in that circumstance, there would be more things that we would understand. Because I think a lot of it, like, we just don't understand anyway because we don't have that shit. So we're not thinking about it. We're not knowing the details or knowing how to take care of it. I know a couple people that are living their lives just like everyone else.
No, I get it. As far as... Okay, so that's definitely going to be a conversation for another day.
Right, we can really get into that.
But I'm speaking, so... say if, and this is hypothetical, not saying I do, but say if I knew at this moment I had chlamydia or something, right?
Okay.
And I'm not going to go and have sex with that person knowing that I had chlamydia and I'm taking like meds or stuff for it.
But in that circumstance, you don't have to let your new partner know shit. And that's why I was wondering if it was permanent or not. Because if it's not permanent, then you don't even have to have a new partner until the shit's gone.
That's true. Yeah.
So it would have to be a permanent circumstance. You have herpes or HIV or AIDS.
Jesus. See, those I would definitely... I don't know, because it's easy for me to say, like, I will bring it up right away.
Right.
But I'm not in that situation.
You would want to bring it up
right
away. Yeah,
but it's not an easy conversation to have, no matter... Especially if you really like the person, it's not going to be an easy conversation to have, because you know, most times in your head, you're going to be like, they're no longer going to talk to me. Or it's probably going to be over, because that's the first thing you assume. Because people don't really know too much about these... You know, these diseases, these things, so...
That's true. But, I mean, and then I guess that also goes into person to person, because I know somebody who had chlamydia before, and she told her partner right away, mm-hmm. without any thought of, oh, they're not gonna want to talk to me or be with me. Like, that wasn't the fear. It was more so being responsible, thinking more responsibly than anything else. So I guess it depends on the person. Some people be more afraid of letting the person know about their health than actually fucking telling them about their health.
So she told her current partner that she was with? So, okay. I want to know, like, was that the partner she got it from?
No.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
So she had a boyfriend. Her cheating ass boyfriend gave it to her. And then they broke up. But she didn't know that she had it. And then had a new partner. And found out that she had it after she was already having sex with the new partner.
Oh my. Okay.
So she had to tell the new partner right away when she found out about it.
See, I get scared about that because this is why I get checked so regularly. Because I get scared about that. Like, if you know, I'm no longer dealing with someone, and then, you know, I go and get tested, and then I start talking to somebody else, and then we get intimate, and then, you know, maybe my results come back after the fact, and I'm just like, oh, right. Shit, what do I say?
You just gotta be, made the adult decision to fuck, so all of the things that come with that, you have to not be okay with, but you have to come to terms with, and you have to know how to not know how to deal with it, because nobody knows how to deal with it. I can't even say that either. But you have to be ready to deal with anything that comes with having sex with somebody.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, these situations, they're not easy to talk about, but you have to, you know, you have to have these discussions, because you're not only trying to, you know, protect yourself and protect somebody else. Because in the case, I don't know if this is in every state, but if you have HIV or AIDS, you can go to jail for spreading that, for not telling people. So yeah, that's very scary. So I would say, if you are, or you know somebody that's, you know, going through this, and hopefully they're not being like a slime ball, being greasy and not saying anything at all, I would say try to tell them, your partner, as soon as possible. And if, you know, they can't come to terms with it, then that's on them. But you're not the person. You have to give them that choice. Yeah.
I agree. The best time to raise delicate sexual issues with a new partner is, and not even just STDs, like any type of sexual issue. If you have like a personal thing that you're feeling self-conscious about, or like, just anything. I don't know how to give an example, but it doesn't always just have to be about STDs. But even you not being comfortable with certain parts of your body or something like that, like, when do you have that conversation instead of just acting coy or and trying to push it away or something until the other partner gets frustrated that maybe they can't see you the way they want to or something like that?
Yeah, and that, you saying that just made me think of another delicate situation. Could be, maybe you were a victim of, you know, sexual assault, and you want to, you know, be comfortable with your new partner, and maybe you have not told them yet, but if you guys are, you know, thinking of being intimate or sexual, you have to have that conversation with them, because one, you don't want them, or even you yourself, in the middle of, you know, about to have sex, and then you're just like, no. And then now your partner's looking at you like, okay. So your partner can be thinking like, okay, maybe it's me. Like, are you not attracted to me? Is it something I did?
Right.
So yeah, even, yeah, I know these conversations are, they're not easy. They're tough.
Now with that, speaking from someone who has gone through, I don't even know what to call it, sexual trauma, I don't know how to say it, but yeah, bringing that up, unless it affects you, like, you don't need to be telling all your partners all this shit.
No, you,
but honestly, if it does, like, if you are one of those people that have, you know, secluded yourself because of that, like, well, even then, in that subject, I still am not sure if I 100% agree, because we're just talking about a new sexual partner, not just a fucking, like, a partner I'm trying to be in a relationship with. I don't know if I'm trying to fucking tell my new sexual partner that I've been fucking, something's happened to me, when what do we need to talk about that for? Why do I need to tell you this?
No, I get it. But I, each circumstance is different.
Yeah.
Everybody handles, you know, sexual trauma or trauma period differently. So it is really case by case. If sexual intimacy, you know, scares you because of what you've been through, then yeah, I'm no therapist. I can't really speak too much on it, but.
Switching gears to another example of a delicate sexual issue is your sexual preferences, like what you like in the bedroom. I feel like that's also, all of these things are things that should be brought up, yeah. I think, right away.
Anything involving sex is delicate, honestly.
Right. It's people are weird about it. Like, people don't want to say, I want to fucking tie you up. If you want to do it, then just fucking say it. People don't want to say that shit. So, or they don't want to scare people away or whatever. So that's another example of raising that issue. And I think that should be raised right away. And fuck scaring somebody away. That's the point. Like, you should want to get that out there and weed out the people that's not going to please you the way that you want to be pleased.
See, I get that. And it's easier for, you know, us women to tell our partners that we want to be tied up, because most times they're going to be with it. But in the case, I know I have friends that are not into that, so they may get scared. So I can understand why they wouldn't want to bring that up right away. But hey,
that's the thing. If you're into it, then why be ashamed of it? Bring that shit up. So this sexual partner will know that this is what you're into, so they can have the choice to be into it with you or not. Because somebody is going to be into that shit. I promise you.
Somebody is definitely going to be into
whatever it is, somebody's going to be into that shit.
Listen, you into it, I'm into it, boo.
Right.
All I got to say, I'm into it, so.
So the best time to raise anything is right from the fucking gate, because you just weed out who's not going to be for you.
Yeah, so like Breezy, she said before, sexual partners, not somebody
right.
that sexual you partners. Are trying to be in a relationship with. Sexual partners. If this is somebody that you're trying to be in a relationship with, okay, maybe not. I mean, just depends on where you guys are as far as your relationship.
Listen,
goes.
If you're really trying to be in a relationship with somebody, you should definitely tell them that the shit that you into immediately. Tell yeah, them the shit that you're into immediately.
But. Because
you want to be in a relationship with them. So if the point is to be in a relationship with this person, then they need to know the kinky shit that you're into to have the choice on whether or not they want to be in a relationship with somebody that's into this kinky shit.
That's very true. I agree with you. But listen, heady sex conversations, please.
Yo.
that's what it really comes down to. Let's just talk about sex.
Right.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk. I'm sorry, y'all.
For real. Be comfortable talking about what you into. Because at the end of it, you're going to find somebody that's into the shit that you into.
Yes.
What's your relationship status?
So, Breezy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about marriage. Or the stages and steps before marriage.
Okay.
So what questions do you think are important for you to ask your partner before you guys, you know, go there on that road?
What type of kinky shit you into? It's not a cycle on that, though. That's definitely one of the questions.
But I would hope that you guys are taking the road down to the marriage lane, so you already know these things.
You don't know that. You don't know that. People be into some shit for a long time and don't say shit.
That's not a relationship that needs to continue on.
Ayo,
be there.
All right. And why you think that?
Only because it's like the relationship is kind of, you know, the place or the time that you are getting to know your partner, getting to know you know, them sexually, especially, and how they are. And then to, you know, the engagement is kind of the bridge to marriage. And then marriage, you know, is a whole nother story. It's a whole nother phase that you guys go through of learning how you are as...
Now, I was thinking more broad, not like literally we already engaged and about to get married. Just being partners before, just the whole steps before you get married. What should you know about your partner? Or what things do you think you should know about your partner before you get married? And you're not going to know everything because there's no way to know everything.
No, there's no
way to know everything because people are always evolving and changing. So as long as that happens, you're not going to know everything because people are always going to have something new.
That's true. But as far as, you know, the main things, like, you should know the main shit about your partner.
So besides the things that you're into sexually, whether or not they want children.
Yes. How many children too? Because
I feel like that's negotiable.
It's negotiable, but some people are really adamant about wanting a big family. Some people are really adamant about only wanting one child. So okay. it really depends, because that can really make or break relationships also.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that.
Because I've seen and know of couples where their relationship or their marriage maybe even suffered because either the wife couldn't get pregnant, so now the husband's like, well, it's not. We can get on asshole husbands later. But yeah, so I've seen marriages not work because, you know, of not being able to have children, somebody or one of the partners or husband, wife not wanting to have a child. And yeah. And some, you know, some ideas, okay. some people actually change their minds.
What about religion? Do you think that should be something that should at least be a common ground?
What do you mean by common ground?
Like, for example, like if one partner is used to and has always gone to church, and another partner believes in God, but they haven't always gone to church.
I don't see why you should compromise. If while you are in that relationship and the partner that has always gone to church, they should continue to go to church.
And that's an easy common ground. Let me give you a more difficult one. So there is a person that believes in God, and then there is a person who understands the concept, but doesn't necessarily say they believe in God.
Okay. So that's actually interesting.
How about, all right, let's make it easy. A Christian and a Muslim in a relationship. I think there is a common ground because there is a belief
in the general. The only issue that will come about in that relationship is what religion would the child be raised in?
Right.
That's where the common ground goes. And usually, depending on which parent is what religion, is usually the child. It depends on the conversations, but from my understanding, especially if the husband is Muslim, the child, you know, it's a thing
Muslim.
For the child to, you know, practice Islam
right.
as their father. But that's actually one of my questions, like, which religion, if any, are you going to raise your child in? That was one of my questions. If you have children, because that's a real thing. And it's not just, you know, it's not even just Christianity and Islam. It's also a Jewish, that religion. And what else is it? It's a bunch of them that, you know, they don't coincide with each other. They have different beliefs of how they go about even being married.
Yeah. Have different ideas on marriage when you are in different religions.
Yes. So,
what else should they ask?
I have one.
What do you think?
Where would you relocation after marriage? That's the thing. Have you guys talked about staying in the same place you guys are?
Have you talked about maybe relocating to maybe a new part of the city, a different state? That's the thing.
Location is definitely important to talk about.
And not even just because of the children, but just because of you. Or, you know, say if somebody got a new job. You're in a good, stable job, but your partner got an opportunity with a good, stable job somewhere else.
What I'm really trying to think intently, like, what other questions should you, because I feel like there's so many more things. We said about 4 things so far.
Financial.
But what question is that? What are we asking?
Are we going to have separate bank accounts? Are we going to have joint accounts? If one person is more well off than the other, is a prenup going to be involved?
All right, cool.
It's the thing, and prenups, and the things with prenups is they don't have to be just black and white. They can include so many different things. Prenups are actually very extensive, and they can say anything. Like, it's ridiculous. And they're not necessarily bad. I get them. I understand the concept of a prenup. But I also understand the concept of having separate bank accounts too. I personally don't believe in joint accounts.
Why not?
And partially because of what my mother told me after being married twice. I personally don't agree with me sharing what I earn or you knowing everything that I do financially or have financially. I understand us maybe saying if we're going to have a joint account, put a certain amount of money equally into that account. But as far as everything, no. I still think most things financially we need to keep separated. Because I don't think it's my business to know what you have, what you make, and it's not your business to know what I make or what I have. That's just my standpoint on it.
I was trying to think of a follow-up question because I want to get a little deeper than that, but
okay,
that I couldn't think of anything else, so that's okay. Moving on. Other questions that you should ask someone before you decide that you want to marry them. Family values.
Yes.
It's definitely important knowing, you know, how they feel about their parents.
Mm-hmm.
If they have, you know, if they grew up with them or not, or those type of stories, I think are important to know about your partner.
That's definitely a thing. How they were raised, because that definitely comes into play when you guys decide to start a family, because that's when you start to see, okay, our values are, we have different values, we think differently as far as parenting goes, we have to compromise, we have to come to a common ground as far as who does what, who, you know, how things are going to go, if punishment is involved, how are we going to actually punish our children, are we going to go the route that we were raised, the physical route, or are we going to go, you know, the less physical route, the verbal punishments, things of that nature. Even what type of schools do you want to send your children to?
Right. Political affiliations.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And at first, for a while, for a long time, and I almost still feel like it's possible to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't have the same political affiliation as you, but when you don't have the same political affiliation, most of the time you don't always have the same values.
Yes.
So that just changes things anyway. But I say that at first I didn't care too much, but I think that at the age that I am now, I completely care.
Yes.
I really do care.
Especially in today's world.
I don't want to go in too much, but I definitely care.
I can personally say
I don't want to talk about politics
at all, but I will say this. I do know there are certain people, not all, not most, but some, a small percentage, that may be a part of a certain political group, they might not agree 100% with everything they do or what they believe, but certain, I guess you could say certain policies they might agree with, and that's the reason why they might veer to that political party.
Right.
I'm not saying I would date some. I probably would never date somebody that is a part of that, you know, that affiliation. But
are if you can, if, talking if you about Republicans?
Yes. If you could communicate to me why you agree with those policies without sounding dumb or actually making sense, then okay, I can understand. I won't say that I'll stay with you, but I can respect your viewpoint.
Okay. And this is why I didn't want to talk politics, because
we don't have to get into it.
We don't. I'm just gonna move on. I've been questioning my own affiliation, but I am going.
I get it. It's a real thing, and we were taught to believe that we had to, you know, be stay in that whatever party we were born and raised in, but that's not true. There's a such thing as being independent also, guys.
So. Or green. Don't do that. Don't do that. All right.
I also have a question.
Right. Okay.
This is a very valid and real one. How long after you guys get engaged does the wedding and all that take place? I know couples that have not agreed on it.
That's up to them. I feel like that just comes with person to person.
Everything we ask is up to them.
That's true.
So that's a question, because if you guys know that marriage is what you want to do, and you know, you can have this conversation, you can have that talk, because there are some women that want to be married, it's right, like maybe a year after getting engaged. Some women that don't, and vice versa. There are some people, period, that just want it to happen as soon as right after, immediately after.
Honestly, I'm definitely gonna say I'm one of those people, because maybe I don't understand the concept of a long engagement, but I'm just gonna say I don't understand the concept of a long engagement. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I want to marry you, so we're only engaged because we're not married. Yes. Like, we would get married right the fuck away.
Yes.
Like, marry me. Okay, let's go get married. Like, that's how I feel. Let's, the fuck, what are we doing?
I can say that. I feel that same way. If we're going to be engaged for longer, I will probably give my partner 2 years. And
that's a long ass time.
That additional year depends on the type of wedding we are planning to have. If we are just going to go to City Hall, we can do it tomorrow, babe. Let's go.
Right,
or we can do it that, depending on what time you propose to me, we can go down there today. But if, you know, if we agree that we want to have a big wedding, then okay, financially, this is how long we know it may take us to financially, afford the wedding we want.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, because honestly, that's really what it comes down to. In my opinion, that's really what it should come down to. If we're going to have a long engagement, that's the only thing I can see
planning the wedding
is that 2 year engagement being at the next tops 2 years maximum.
And maybe I don't know enough about wedding planning, because 2 years to plan a wedding is a long time.
No, 2 years to plan a wedding is not a long time. 2 years to pay for that wedding is a different story. Because if I would want to have a big wedding, I wouldn't want to. People get loans for weddings. I don't want to do that.
Right.
If I can afford to pay it all right, I'm going to do that. So it takes me 2 years to afford to do that, then that's fine.
City Hall it is, because
yeah, I'm at the City Hall.
Why is we paying all of this money to spend the rest of our lives together?
If we not already living in a house together, we're going to go to City Hall and then buy a house with whatever money we were going to have that wedding with, or go on a nice, extravagant honeymoon.
Like, hello. The fuck?
That's what we're doing. Like, hi. And later down the line, if we do a a vow renewal, there we go, there's our wedding, we can do that. But I'm at the point City Hall and either a nice vacation or a house.
I'm with it. I'm definitely with it. I wish that I had more questions, because I feel like there's so many more questions that you need to ask your partner before you get married to them.
It is,
we just scratched the surface.
there's, and it's mainly because, you know, neither one of us have been married. We're not engaged or anything. So it's not like we,
you know. I mean, you know, on the road is worth something.
Well, I'm on the side walk, you guys. I'm hitchhiking right now, so I can't help you with that.
Right.
I'm on the opposite side of the road, thumb up. You know, got a little leg out. I'm hitchhiking right now.
Y'all tell us what y'all think. What questions should you ask your partner before getting married? What would you ask your partner before you get married?
And if, you know, you have something deeper or even an example of a question that we already asked, let us know. We want to hear. Because especially to you all who are married, that listen to the podcast.
Please. Especially the married people.
What did you guys go through? Like, did you guys go through counseling before even getting married? Like, what did you guys go through before you actually said I do?
What did you know about each other or didn't know about each other?
Yes.
Bitch, I need some advice. So we have a listener question. This listener question is from Anonymous Eyes. Hey, Eyes.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. How soon is too soon to give up the cooch to someone new?
That's a thing?
Now, I'm wondering the same thing, because this ain't Joan off Girlfriends. Like, Joan had that 3-month rule. I don't even know why she had that 3-month rule. She was 29 when she had that shit.
And I could not relate when Monica said she wasn't getting down on the first night, because baby, I'm getting down on the first, second, third, and fourth night.
Yo, every night there is possible that we see each other, we getting down.
Yes. Like,
no. No, for you.
When I say that my initial conversation includes sex, I mean it includes sex. If we don't talk about sex initially, then okay, it's not happening. But
okay,
not most times when I meet somebody new, we are talking about sex, because I probably looked at you and be like, I wonder how his sex is. What that dick like?
I'm not gonna lie. It hasn't been someone new for some years, but when there were new people, I didn't give a fuck. Like, I just didn't care. If I wanted to have sex with that person, then that was what I was doing. And that was it, no matter when it was. If it was the fucking first night we met, or the fucking second time we saw each other, whatever. And I honestly can't remember a time where I waited, so...
Yeah, waiting. Listen, y'all. These rules are not really things.
And this is me dating women. I'm mostly thinking about when I'm dating women. Like, these women are down with it too. They're not waiting either.
I just want to know, what are you waiting for? Because if the nigga's gonna leave, he gonna leave after the waiting point. He gonna, no matter how long you made that nigga wait, if he had intentions on leaving after the fact, he's still gonna leave. So right. I mean, do what you want to do.
I mean, unless you're me, because, you know, pussy talk English Spanish friend.
I went to my own point over here. I didn't want, you know, but honestly, like, are you really going to go into every guy that you're dating thinking that, like,
give him a time limit?
Right. Or even like
guy or girl, the time limit is guy for or what? Girl.
A relationship? Girl, if a relationship's going to happen, it's going to happen. If not, if, like, come on. I just want to know, what are you really waiting for? Why are you building up all this pent-up frustration? For what? Girl, that's not healthy. Let it out. Girl, boy, everybody. It's not healthy. Let it out. Stop masturbating.
Right.
I mean, ain't nothing wrong. Listen.
That is. But. Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. At all.
But, you know, get you some real pussy, get you some real dick, everything. Stop waiting.
There's no such thing as too soon, I think. Because it's really your fucking business. Like, who's gonna know when you gave it up? Who cares? This is your business. So if you want to give it up as soon as you see that person, then do it, please. I encourage it.
Yes. That's all. That's it. That's all that was written.
Right. That was an easy one. Like, how soon is too soon? Ain't no such thing. So, do you, us.
It's time for the You Ain't Shit playlist.
Okay, so this week for the playlist, I'm going to add in Bryson Tiller's Sorry Not Sorry, because it's something about that damn song that just gets me so in. It's like it's a cool little vibey flex song on, you know, motherfucker that just don't appreciate you before the fame.
It's definitely a good song. My first song putting on there today is Whole Lotta Choppas by Sada Baby. That shit's it's a jig.
Oh, I fuck God. With it. I was it's looking at that song earlier to put on a playlist. That's funny.
I like it. I like the way he rap on there. I fuck with it all.
I like a lot of Sada Baby songs. I can't even front.
He's decent.
He is. All right, so for my second edition. Now, this rapper honestly came to a surprise as far as me liking him. But once I saw him perform live, I knew I was immediately going to be a fan. So my next song is going to be Young Nudie's Blue Cheese Salad off of his latest album. I'm going to tell you something about this song, y'all. The chorus alone can be the song for why it ain't shit. He talking about fucking a girl in a blow up bed and now she nasty. Yeah, it's just funny as hell.
She played it for me. It's definitely a good song. It fits like a motherfucker.
Like a glove.
Then my last song that I'm putting on the playlist this week is We've Taken It Back. Shout out Carrie Hilson. We putting on Intuition by Carrie Hilson.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite Carrie Hilson songs.
I'm not ashamed to say I was a Carrie fan.
Yeah, this song, like, for her to have written and arranged her vocals, like, I just want you to think about that when you listen to the song again. She did the vocal arrangement. She fucking killed that.
Yes.
Had to put that on there because it ain't shit talking about her ain't shit ass nigga that she already trying to be in this relationship with, even though she know he ain't shit.
And we've been there, at least I've been there.
And just hope it's in her mind, you know. But check out the playlist because we got some good songs we added on there and songs already on there that you can continue to twerk to, and it'll be on Spotify and Apple Music.
Yes. And the first 12 songs, don't forget, have already been added. We're going to add these 4 songs and, you know.
Yes, just search You Ain't Shit playlist on both and you will find them.
All right, y'all. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Queen Chicken Head.
And follow me on Instagram, and you know I say Twitter every week, but I hope that y'all didn't really go on there and see that I actually don't use it. Yes. I'm gonna be on there though.
She says that every week, and listen, I see nothing.
Listen, I'm gonna start. I just gotta get back into that habit. Like I the only social media I habitually still use is Instagram. I don't even use Snapchat no more. I barely use Facebook. I fucking damn sure don't use Twitter anymore, but I gotta get back on there. So follow me on Instagram at Breezy_TheGent. Follow me on Twitter at Breezy_TheGent. I will be active. I will tweet you, tweet me back, or whatever they say.
Please stay off of Twitter with that link.
And then don't forget to follow our page on Instagram if you aren't already. That's You Ain't Shit Podcast on Instagram.
And on Twitter is You Ain't Shit Pod.
Yeah. You Ain't Shit Pod.
Yeah, something cute. And then we are now on Facebook, y'all. We have created a page, so don't forget to like, share, and let everybody know about it.
Please share.
Yes, and if you it should be on a link tree, and if not, I'll update it. If you need the link to the Facebook, if that's something you like to do with your aunties, I'll send you the link today.
And don't forget, we are always open for questions, suggestions, stories.
Stories, yes.
Stories.
We love stories.
I emphasize stories.
Ooh, yes, please.
I want to read some more stories, man. I got to work on my voices, so help me do that.
And Anonymous H, if you want to bring us back another story, sis.
Right, Anonymous H, what happened to that date? Tell us about that. Follow up on that. Tell us that story. What did you do? Is you helping him gamble or no?
Oh, Lord. I hope not. But see you guys next week. Bye.
Ooh, bitch, you ain't shit.